This is Sophia Dady in Egg Harbor Township, November 22nd, 2018. Can you introduce yourself?
I'm Ben Dady, and I'm with my granddaughter Sophie in Egg Harbor Township.
And I'm Teresa Dady, and I'm with my granddaughter Sophie in Egg Harbor Township.
Can you guys tell me a story about how you met?
Sure. It was 1959. It was June. I remember the exact day. It was June the 13th, 1959. I was in Atlantic City. I had given some friends of mine a ride to Atlantic City, and I was leaving the next day, which was a Saturday. And before I left, I decided to take a stroll on the boardwalk, and I needed a shave. I didn't look very good. I wasn't interested in meeting any girls. But as I walked along the boardwalk, I saw the most stunning, the most beautiful female I had ever laid eyes on in my life. But I looked like hell. I didn't look very good. So I couldn't go up to her and say anything. And I walked past her. And I stopped about 30 feet past her. And I just stood there and I looked at her. I said, wow, what a beautiful girl. And then I noticed there was a guy, a big fat guy on the beach.
No, he's not fat.
Well, he looked fat to me. And he was walking up from the beach. And the look in his face told me that he was making a beeline for this beautiful girl. And I said, if nothing else, I have to rescue her from this guy. So I quickly went over to her and said, hello. And she said, hello. And the rest is history. And actually, there is more to the story. I tried to make a date with her. That didn't work out too good. And then by chance, about a month later, back in Philadelphia, I bumped into her by accident. I was on the block where she lived, and I was walking by her house, and she was talking to her mother. And I said, hey, you remember me? And I think she did because she looked like she was getting nauseous. She wasn't. And so I saw she wasn't crazy about me, so I played up to her mother, who is your great-grandmother. And now your great-grandmother, great lady, she's kind of heavy. So I could tell she liked to eat. So I was on my way. I was on my way to a store to get some lunch, but I didn't get lunch. I stopped by the ice cream shop, and I bought a double-dip ice cream and brought it back to her mother. And said, here, Mrs. Tallarico, I got something for you, right? That was it. I was in with the mother now. And I pursued her for about, I got her phone number. I pursued her for about a month after that. And finally, she broke down and agreed to let me pick her up. She was working at her brother's beauty parlor. And she agreed to allow me to pick her up one night at 9 o'clock. And I thought I'd get there early. So I got there like 7:45 by the bus stop I was parked. She came out at 8:30 trying to leave before I got there, said time, right? And when she came to the bus stop, I was already parked there. I rolled down the window. I said, hi, I got here early. And since I was a good boy, I was very careful not to do anything inappropriate. And she had an opportunity to get to know me a little bit. And we talked a little bit, and I drove her home, and I didn't get fresh or say anything out of the way. And then I made a date with her for the following Sunday, and she allowed me to keep it. And you know where I took her?
Where?
To the zoo. And we've just had a... A year later, we were married.
What's your take on everything, Mom?
If I go back to his story, I could change just a few things. But I won't, because it's pretty accurate. And then we married a year after we met. We got married. And then 2 years later, we had our first child, Timmy. And then we had our second child a year later, Nikki. And Nikki had some problems, but we dealt with that. It was a very difficult time in our lives. And then we had another son, Tommy, who was your father. And the whole time that I was carrying your father, I was a nervous wreck, but I would never let anybody know because I was worried that there was going to be something wrong with him too. And when he was born, he was absolutely perfect. And he just loved everything about life. If you did change his diapers, he would goo. Give him food, he would yum it. He was just a wonderful, wonderful. And he became my favorite of sorts. I love Walden the same. And then about 4 years later, and he was spoiled because I really did spoil him. About 4 years later, Dad went to Hawaii, and my father got me a ticket so that I could go visit him because he was there for 6 weeks. I went there for the last 2 weeks, and that's where I conceived my girl. So now I have three boys and a girl. And from then on, it's just raising my children and helping out with my grandchildren, and that's pretty much where I am.
Do either of you have any crazy stories from them?
Have any what?
Crazy stories.
From when?
From the kids.
From the kids.
I know Tommy used to like to follow. Your dad used to like to follow a lot. He used to do crazy things. Now one time he fell from a tree, and he broke his nose.
Oh yeah.
And he was in the hospital, and he was only about what, 9 then?
Yeah, 8 or 9.
And I was there when they were taking the packing out of his nose. They had packed it with gauze. There must have been 50 yards of gauze packed. That's how they did it. And the nurse wasn't very nice to him, I don't think, as I recall.
No, but it was the black lady.
But the aide, the woman, the aide, who helped the nurse, she was marvelous. She took care of him like it was her child.
Your father was a pistol. Because when he was about 16 or 17, he took off on his own. He didn't want to be bothered with the house anymore. He wanted to do it himself. So it was Easter morning. He left. We had no idea where he was. I'm cooking and waiting for him. No idea. So we got in the car and we went and found him.
Where did we find him?
Waterloo, somewhere. Now, Waterloo Apartments or something it was called.
Oh.
That we found. Tommy left several times where we had to go find him.
Yeah, one time I had to go to, he went to Florida when he was 18, right? And I gave him some money and I said, the deal is you have to call me every night, right? And just call me, let me know you're all right. One night, the first night he was there, he called. The second night he was there, he called. The third night he didn't call. I said, all right, I'll give him a break for one night. So, but if he doesn't call tomorrow night, I'm going to Florida to look for him. I had no idea where he was. And the second night, he didn't call. I jumped in the car, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
And took off, and I went to Florida. I had no idea where I was going to look. And as I was on the way on 95 heading for Florida, I'm telling the truckers on the CB, we used to use CB radios in those days. I said, I'm going down to Florida to look for my son. And one of the truckers said, hell, my daddy wouldn't go next door to look for me. At any rate, the truckers helped me out. They said, where you want to look? He said, how old is your son? I said, he's 18. He said, uh-oh. Well, this is what they call Easter break or spring break or whatever for the school kids. He says, there's a place near, Fort Lauderdale, I guess it is. Called the candy store. It's on Route 1A. So that's where all the kids like to hang out, kids being the teenagers and the young adults. And so I headed in that direction. Got tired, rented a hotel room at the Holiday Inn in Fort Lauderdale, and just started driving around looking for his truck. He had a pickup truck. And at one point, I noticed a police car was parked in this gas station parking lot, but the gas station was closed. So I figured this cop has seen me riding around because I'm looking for Tommy's truck. So I better go let the cop know who I am and what I'm doing before he gets too suspicious. So I did. I went up to the cop and I said, excuse me, officer. I says, you might have noticed I've been circling around a lot. I said, I'm from Pennsylvania. I'm looking for my son and I have no idea where he is. So he says, where are you from in Pennsylvania? I said, Havertown. He said to me, my wife's from Havertown. So we got to be friends. I described the truck. I said, if you see the truck, You know, I don't want him to get any trouble. Would you just tell him where I'm staying at the Holiday Inn? I want him to get in touch with me. He said, I will do that. I'll keep an eye out for him. And he called home that night, and his mother told him, your father's at the Holiday Inn in Fort Lauderdale. And then we hooked up. But he drove me crazy. I drove 1,200 miles looking for that kid.
And then he got more money, so maybe that's why he needed to come down.
Yeah. But the trucker said, my daddy wouldn't go next door to look for me. But yeah, your father has been, you know, you ever hear Sweet and Sour?
Mm-hmm.
Your father has been a Sweet and Sour guy. When he's good, he's the best. When he's not good, he's, oh, it drives you crazy.
I have a feeling he's still Sweet and Sour.
Yeah. But I loved him. I still love him.
What about the other kids?
The other kids, I remember Timmy when we went on vacation up to Daniels and the Poconos. And that one, the one girl that liked him, Timmy was only about 10 or 11 at the time, right?
Right.
And this one girl liked him and she was all sunburned.
He called her Lobster Lily. He
called her Lobster Lizzie.
Lobster Lizzie.
Lobster Lizzie. I said, Tim, why don't you talk to her? She seems like a nice girl. Lobster Lizzie? I'm not talking to her.
And how about Nikki? Nikki had all kinds of experiences in different schools and having to leave him in Royer Grace. They had to leave him for 2 weeks without seeing him when he was, what, 5 or 6?
Yeah, he was about 5 or 6.
Yeah,
that was
difficult. But then he got to experience that okay, and now he's doing great. He comes home every month now. And he's got the woman that brings him, her name is
Dolores,
and he goes to she takes him dancing and to proms, and
he's been
so he's had a great. So now when he comes to visit us, all right, bye, and he leaves. So he's good. So he's doing good.
He's been to 8 proms. I've never been to one.
You want to explain what happened to him?
I really don't know completely what happened to him. He was born and looked perfect.
He was born with congenital optic atrophy.
Yes.
His optic nerves were dead.
But he had beautiful blue eyes. And
beautiful blue eyes.
Couldn't tell.
Yeah.
And we took him. He was at, 3 weeks old when I took him to the doctor?
3 months old.
3 months old. And the doctor said he wasn't following. And that's how we found out. So we had to go through a whole lot of hospitals. And
he went through 2 tests, which I think, and I don't know, but you always wonder. I think it might have had something to do with brain damage, because he wound up being profoundly retarded. He had a procedure called a pneumoencephalogram. Now, that's where they drain the spinal fluid completely. Then they inject a different fluid in there, so they take pictures of the brain. And that didn't work. Now, I understand it's very, very taxing on the system to do it once. They waited about 2 weeks and did it again because the first take didn't work. So he had 2 pneumoencephalograms. And the story was that when his cranium was not, when his brain wasn't being protected by the fluid in his skull, that if he had just a slight bump, right, they could have done some physical damage to his brain. We don't know that that's what happened, but I've always wondered if something like that might have happened, because we didn't see any signs of retardation when he was, you know, at a break. But how do you tell at that age, you know? Mm-hmm. At any rate, they said he would never see anything, nothing, not even shadows. And when he was about 2
mm-hmm.
or 3, about 2, I guess, 2 and a half, we took him for an appointment with the neurologist, and he was sitting on my lap, and I put him down, stand him up, and he walked, and he started to walk toward the doorway. The door was open. And I got up to get Nikki, and the doctor said, let him go. Leave him alone. And Nikki walked right through the doorway. And the doctor said, oh, my goodness. He says, this boy can see. Now, he didn't see that he had his vision back, but he said if he didn't have some vision of some kind, even limited, he'd never find that doorway. But he went right for it. And turns out what he has is he has a little bit of peripheral vision in his right eye. And today, after all these years, I would say of the four children, your father and Uncle Tim and Aunt Maria, Dickie is probably the happiest of the four. He has no problems.
That's right.
He never forgets the words to happy birthday. Never. So he's a great kid. Aunt Maria, I didn't tell you about. She didn't walk to school one day, all the years. Right through high school, I drove to school every day. Every day. Am I right?
She lived right behind it.
Huh? Right.
She lived right behind the school.
She went to Prendy.
Oh.
Which was not that far. Well,
she started out at the Haverford.
She didn't like Haverford.
She didn't like him, but I drove her anyway. Kidding me? Yeah, I spoiled her.
Well, now she's got Emmy that she has to take to school every morning and she complains about it. Maria was very easy after having the boys.
Oh, Maria was a pleasure. Absolute pleasure. Good kid.
Did any of them fight a lot?
Huh?
Tommy and Maria. Your father and Maria always fought.
I think he resented her because
she
stole all the attention away.
He was spoiled. He was a spoiled brat. He didn't want to. When I brought Maria home from the hospital, Timmy was out on the back porch. We lived in 64th Street then. And your father was always following me around. And I was away for 2 days in the hospital. He was always at my surgery. He was like 3 or 4. And I brought the baby in to show the baby off. He didn't like her.
You know what he did there one day? He
locked her out.
In the winter,
locked her out. He was scared.
But he tricked her into going outside. He said, "You want to see something nice?" She said, "Come with me." So he took her out onto the porch on 64th Street. Got her out on the porch in cold weather, then rushed back in the house and closed the door and wouldn't let her in.
He was bad for her.
He was bad.
What about Uncle Timmy?
With Maria?
Uncle Timmy's been a prince with everybody. He rescues everybody.
Uncle Timmy loved her. He was always holding her and hugging her and kissing her and loving her, but he was older.
How about the way he took care of Nikki?
And he used to take care of Nikki, too.
They're only 15 months apart. When Timmy was only 2 or 3, he sensed that his brother had a problem, and he took care of him. It was incredible
Nikki
to watch.
Nikki used to like to be in those swings, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Timmy would push the swing back and forth. Tommy would push it and go away. He could have gone up to the ceiling, you know, like that.
But Uncle Timmy's been a very kind, gentle person at all times. He's always been the rescuer of those who were in distress, like kids at school that nobody wanted to talk to. Uncle Tim, you'd be friendly with that.
He still has a friend, Chris, who has no friends and never talks to anybody.
Yep.
They go out for dinner once a week. Chris, you know who Chris is. From lives across the street from your Aunt Mayor.
Mm-hmm.
You know who I mean. He still sees him. About once a week they go to the diner.
But see, that's his nature. You know, everybody has their own nature. So both of them have some of my mom's qualities. They're both good cooks.
Mm-hmm.
But each one of us might resemble one of our parents, but you are your own. You have your own stuff. I used to say about your dad that he's 2% me, 3% my mom, and 95% himself.
That's right. Everybody is.
And that's true for you, too. And you might be a little bit of your mom or your dad. I think you're a lot like your dad.
Yeah, I think you're a lot like
But
your
you're
dad.
Mainly, you're mostly yourself.
Yeah.
And yourself, I think, is a little stronger than your dad. You have a hard time with that.
You two are too much alike.
Yeah.
How did you guys react when you found out that I was being born?
Oh, I was so excited.
Yeah.
In fact, that's when I was working at Dunwoody, and I had a hard time getting off from work because I was important. And your mother asked me if I would be able to come up to Quakertown and stay with Joey while you were being born. And I did. I took a week off, so I was with you for the first week of your life. And you were so cute. You had that one dimple that you still have. You were so cute. Such a beautiful little bit. And Joey was good with you, too. Joey was really good. And I would get Joey ready to go to school and everything. Oh, I watched more. I watched more Square. What is it?
SpongeBob
Square. Oh, my God. I hated that. But Joey loved it. So we put it on. I'd sit there and I'd watch it with him. That's the most stupid cartoon.
Still my favorite show.
What?
Favorite.
Still your favorite? Yeah, you were gorgeous. You were so special. And you still are.
My favorite picture, I have hold you in my arms. She was about, what, 3 or something? The best smile I ever smiled in my life, I smiled with her. I'm holding her in my arms. The big one I have in my room. But your mother, we didn't talk about. Your mother, as far as I'm concerned, was as much our child
as
any of our children. Till this day, we have her portrait, and my mom still talks to her while she's in the kitchen cooking.
I do.
And little things continue to remind us.
Every time I go up Brookline Boulevard, I want to go visit.
So we experienced a very difficult loss when we lost your mom.
Yep.
Nobody knows how strong the
bond
was.
Nobody realized. Nobody from your mom's side of the family realized how close we were.
Yeah.
You know that? So she was more my daughter than. I just we just
she loved you.
Oh yeah, we would talk almost every day on the phone.
Yep.
She always wanted to come over.
Yeah, always, and she'd call me. She'd say, "What are you cooking tonight?" I don't know what to. Or she was sure she would say, "I just don't know what to cook tonight." And I'd say, "All right, come on over." No, she was absolutely
wonderful. She was so much. She was so kind and loving. She took part in everything they did, all the charity stuff they did at school. She was involved in everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how about the friends she had? She had a zillion friends. Everybody loved Valerie.
But one thing that really stands out to me now with having your dad being here and Kim being here, well, your mother said to me when she knew she was going, she said, "I want him to have somebody to take care of him." She said, "He has to get married again." So we talked and all. And then what I realized when I met Kim, and I really still believe this, that your mother handpicked her because she had to be a certain way. First of all, she couldn't be prettier than your mother because your mother wouldn't have that. Kim is pretty. Don't get me wrong, but she can't be prettier than your mother. She has to do things a certain way, and she has to take care of your father. And that's what she does.
Yeah.
And I swear that your mother said, "This is the way it's going to be," and that's it. Because she was very powerful.
Guess what?
What?
Kim also found her way into my heart. She's as loving and as kind and as wonderful. I know that your mom she met Kim in life. She would have loved her. She's just such a good person. And I thank God that Kim was sent to your family for you and your dad, because I think she's just a good person.
And I do believe that Valerie had something. Valerie has something to do with everything in my eyes. Every time I turn around, something will pop up. Yesterday there was a ladybug, Maria told me, on her wall, and your mother's favorite bug was a ladybug. She loved ladybugs, and Maria knew that. So we discussed her yesterday at our dining room table when we had Thanksgiving yesterday with Aunt Maria. And she said, and there, your mom's portrait's there watching us eat. And she talked about the ladybug. So your mom is always with us. And she'll always be with us.
Yeah.
She's not here.
We can't see a cardinal.
Oh, God, no.
Or a frog. See that? So she always comes to mind. And how about the messages you keep getting on your phone?
On my phone. Oh, not on my phone. On my computer. Her name comes up all the time. And then I figured out why, because she used to be in that Haverford community group that I'm in now. And it says, and every once in a while they post people that are there, and she was probably one of the first ones on there. So her name comes up in association with mine. And I smile and laugh, because that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you have a lot of stuff that goes on for you about her like that, too, that just comes up.
Well, we have a good family, so, and I think that in my own mind, that my mom is the source of all the goodness that we've experienced.
And you can be all the bad stuff.
I am all the bad stuff. But my mom has just been like the glue that has held us together. You know, I have 4 children that have a wonderful relationship with all 4 of them. That's great. I mean, it's nice to love people in your family, but when you like them, that's like a bonus, right? You have to like them all, but I like every one of them, you know? So I'm very fortunate, and I attribute most of our, whatever success we've had in life and relationships.
It takes two.
It might take two, but you're...
I had to cover up all your bad moves.
Every ship has one captain. You're the captain. And that's it. And you're not allowed to have favorite grandchildren, right? But if nobody was listening, I would admit, you're my favorite. I don't love her anymore, but she's just my favorite.
I don't love her anymore. Anything else?
Got anything else to say?
I think that was a nice long story. I think we covered just about everybody, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
How about you? Are you going to add anything to it?
You guys are a trip.
See, kids don't fool around with all the junk. They get right to it.
I couldn't stand him when I first met him. I couldn't stand him. And now I know why. Such a scooch.
Well, thank you guys for doing this with me.
You're welcome. I think you're going to get a good mark. Because that was a funny story. And he didn't even get to the honeymoon part. Go ahead, get to the honeymoon part. Real fast.
All right, real fast. We went up to the mountains for our honeymoon. You got to understand, I'm from South Philadelphia. I don't know anything about camps and campfires and fireplaces. I don't know anything about that stuff. But I had rented, when I made the arrangement for our honeymoon, I had rented a cottage on the grounds, on the campus of the resort. So we had our own cottage with a fireplace. I don't know nothing about fireplaces, but they had the kindling wood already there, had the paper, everything. All you had to do was strike a match, right? So while she's in taking a shower, I know how to strike a match. I struck a match, lit the paper, and the paper started going, and the kindling wood started going. But the room started to fill up with smoke. So what the heck is going on here, right? The smoke is not—it's not going up the chimney. It's coming in the cottage. So I go in the kitchen. I get a glass of water. I throw it on the fire to try to put it out. Oop! I got to go back in another glass. I'm running back and forth with glasses of water, trying to put the fire out. What happens is somebody saw the smoke.
I ran down to the social director to get help.
Oh, Frank.
And the social director comes up.
Oh, yeah.
Comes into the room.
Yeah.
Pulls the flue on the fire on the fireplace.
He opened the flue.
And all the smoke
went up the chimney. I said, I don't know about a flue. All right. So then he leaves, right? He says, you guys going to be all right? Yeah, we're going to be all right. So after he leaves, I said, geez, I want to create the romantic atmosphere with this fireplace. So I need some kindling wood. I have any kindling wood. So I get my penknife. I get a log. And I start trying to shave pieces, little skins off the log to make kindling wood, right? And as I'm doing it, pushing down one hand on the handle, the other hand on the edge of the blade, the knife slips, the blade closes, cuts my thumb. And now I'm bleeding all over the place. She has to go back and get the social director again. Said, my husband hurt himself, right? So he comes back up. And he's bleeding pretty good. He drives us into town, 9 miles away, Halsey, Pennsylvania. Wake up the doctor. Now it's nighttime. Wakes up the doctor. Doctor comes out and he says, he looks at it. I go in to see him. They wait in the waiting room and I come out with a Band-Aid on that. Put a Band-Aid on it. That was it. No stitches. So we go back to the cottage and it was the end of a not so romantic night. Okay. Well, I figured I got to make up for this. So the next day, I had noticed when we were on our way up, I had noticed a place on the highway mm-hmm. where you could rent an outboard motor. When we got to the resort, I noticed they had rowboats. So after dinner, I leave her with another couple. I run to the car, drive back to the place that has the outboard motors. I rent a motor. I bring it back. I go down to the lake, hook up the motor to the boat. Meanwhile, she's, wait, what happened, you know?
And when one of the snooty girls that was there said, oh, are you alone?
And it was a honeymoon resort. Yeah, nobody.
It was a honeymoon resort, and I was alone.
So I said, but I'm going to surprise you. We're going to be the only couple that's going to have a motor on our boat. The other ones have to row,
right?
Oh, I
didn't
know. Right? So I pushed the boat away from the dock, and I start the motor, right? Boom, boom. It's not going nowhere. It's not doing nothing. And the boat's drifting away from the dock. They had to come out and rescue me.
The social director arrested him 3 times while we ran our home.
She said, please don't try to make up for anything anymore. You're fine. Leave it alone.
And back to honeymoon resort, and for like 20 years after, who was it that went there like 20 years later? They're still telling the story of our honeymoon there to the groups of people about the stupid stuff that happened on.
About this stupid couple that was in that, the stupid guy in that cottage. But we had a good time. We had a great honeymoon, right?
After a couple days.
After a couple days.
You guys are crazy.
I know, we're crazy.
And that's about it. We'll be married 59 years in May. The month when you'll be 17.
Mm-hmm.
59 years. Oh, my God. Yep. A long time.
Yeah. But I've been thrilled with you so since the day you were born. Since the day you were born. And I have pictures of you. I have to ask myself, do I want to show her these pictures? I had you one day in the house. I was taking pictures of you. You were in a mood where you wanted to make faces.
Oh, God.
You made some of the goofiest faces I've ever seen.
I have some on my phone. They're still there.
Yeah, she twisted her face.
Yeah.
She did. But you've always been a pleasurable kid. I always enjoyed you.
Special lady. Yeah. We only had one argument. Remember the argument we had? That's it. I'm not arguing with you no more.
Nope.
Sophie and I never had an argument, did we?
Nope.
I'm smart enough not to argue with you.
Well, she scared me that time. I didn't know what to do. I don't like to be not in control. And you were in control and I wasn't. Okay, that's it for me.
I'm done.
Well, thank you guys for being my closest friends my whole life. Very important to me.
Thank you, Sophie. Mm-hmm. You're very important to us.
Wow, that's great.
I love you guys.
I love you too.
Done.
That's going to be a neat story.